Thank you, Christina, and thank you, musicians. It's been such a blessed day for music today, and I'm always in awe of violinists because I tried. And Christina, you make the violin sing. I made it cry, so we're very blessed to hear from you today. Thank you. Good morning and happy Sabbath, church family. Isn't it good to be here in the house of the Lord? Now, at Macrovat, we've been going through a journey, learning about prayer, and today the topic is praying through our pain. So let's get started and bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your Sabbath, and thank you, Lord, for your gift of prayer, that we can talk to you anytime we need. And I just pray, Lord, as I speak today, that you speak through me and that the words of my mouth are your words and your words alone. And may the church be encouraged and uplifted, especially in the trying times that we live in today. I thank you and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All of creation cries. Now, as newborn babies, you and I stepped into this fallen world with a loud protest. The very first sound that we uttered as we were born was none but a cry for help. We don't remember it, but it was painful changing from one extreme environment to another. But this experience was necessary for life. Did you know that the physical actions of crying were necessary for a newborn to expel all the amniotic fluid in the lungs in order to breathe? From small inconveniences to struggles that seem larger than life, the harsh reality of living in this fallen world is that we don't stop crying from birth. After the fall of Adam, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:22 that all of creation groans together in the pains of childbirth until now. And the Bible makes it very clear that sin and suffering exists, and it afflicts all of creation, both the righteous and the wicked. This is why, as Christians, in our daily walk, we must remember that our lives is a life or death struggle against sin and the forces of evil. It is in our times of suffering that we must remember that we are at war. We will continue to experience pain through illness, through suffering, and through loss. But we must not be discouraged, for we are not without hope. We serve a risen Savior, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And Revelation 21:14, it speaks to our hearts of his promise to put a final end to all these things. So until then, may I encourage you, in the midst of your pain and your suffering, look to the Bible. Look to the Bible and you'll see that the only way is to pray. Pray to the God of all comfort. If you have your Bibles with you, there's two texts that I want you to look at in particular. The first one found in James chapter 5, verse 13, and the second one, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. I'll have them on the screen. So James 5:13 reads, "Is anyone suffering? What should we do? Pray. Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." And in 2 Corinthians, we read why. It says that all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of what? All comfort. Not some, but all. He comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Isn't that beautiful? When we pray to God, we not only find comfort for ourselves, but comfort enough to share with others. What a loving God do we serve? Now, the instruction that we find in James 5:13 is also well demonstrated by the writings in the books of Psalm. Now, when we read the Psalms, we see both prayer songs of praise, thanksgiving, but we also see prayers of lament. For those of you who may not be aware of that word, it means some passionate expressions of sorrow, grief, or regret. Now, it's important to understand that when we pray a prayer of lament, we need to interpret the world through a biblical lens. Now, this isn't easy to do in times of great suffering, when instinctively we want to run away from God, or we want to blame Him, or be angry at Him. But when we lament, as David did in the Psalms, and as Moses did, instead of drowning ourselves in our sorrows, or in sinful bitterness and anger, we choose to cry to God about our pain. We pour out to our Father our struggles, our fears, and our frustrations. We do this because we plead for God to help us. We dare Him to act, and we dare to hope in Him who has the power to help us in our helplessness. Now, the Psalms of Lament actually comprise the largest category of Psalms, and this should come as no surprise to us because of the world we live in. This morning in particular, I want us to look at Psalms 39. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me there now, and we'll read from verses 8 to 13. Psalms 39, 8 to 13. I found the modern English version explains this in the easiest way, so that's what I've got on the screen, and you can follow along in your Bibles. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was speechless. I did not open my mouth because you did it. Remove your blow from me, for I am consumed by the hostility of your hand. When with rebukes you correct a man for iniquity, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely every man is vapor. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Turn your gaze of displeasure from me, that I may smile before I go away and am no more. Here we find David's prayer clothed with deep sorrow and regret. It is filled with despair, but is not lacking in faith, because in humility he pleads to God for forgiveness and for deliverance from the consequences of his sins and his transgressions. As he laments to God, he acknowledges God as his Savior, as the Lord, as his judge, and as his family. You note in the message there, in verse 12 in particular, he says, I am a stranger with you, not to you. You can also see that there's a tone of familiarity there. So it's like the difference between me talking to a stranger or talking to my siblings or my family. When you pray to God, do you talk as strangers talk, filtering every sentence? Or perhaps do you speak to Him with raw honesty? Honesty that's shared between family. When we're looking to use the Psalms of Lament as a guide for prayer, there are four easy but essential elements that we must remember. And the first one is to repent. As Psalm 39 demonstrates, we must, in times of doubt, turn to God for answers and not to man. When we search the Bible, there's not a verse or a line or a story or a passage in there that does not encourage us and that is not 100% relevant to what we're going through in our situation today. Sometimes, also, our suffering is a direct result of our own issues and our own iniquities. And so when praying like David did, let us repent and seek forgiveness, because the love of God and His tender mercies will not turn us away. Point number two, bring your concerns to God. And we know why, because He cares. And He's no stranger to our sorrows or our struggles. Although He already knows, He longs for us to come to Him with our struggles, to struggle with Him and not against Him. Do you know the words to the song, the hymn written by Frank Oliver, "Does Jesus Care?" And the chorus sings, "Oh yes, He cares, I know He cares." And my favorite line is, "His heart is touched with my grief." I don't know if you're anything like me, but I'm a bit of a sympathy crier. If I see a commercial that's really sad or I see someone crying, oh, the tears just start coming out. My throat starts to swell up. If we as sinful beings can sympathize with other people's pain, how much more can God? How much more can God understand what we're going through? Point number three, ask boldly, ask in faith for refuge and for His help. We must learn to go to Him first, who is mighty to save. Psalms 46, 1 to 3 says, "God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble." I love how Sister White pens it in Ministry of Healing, page 281. I never knew this, but she says, "Our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us, of which we know nothing." 1,000 ways that He wants to help. That's amazing. And lastly, number four, trust that God is good and trust that He is in control. In the Review and Herald, 1910, again, Sister White encourages us and she said, "Let us have more confidence in our Redeemer. Trustful dependence on Jesus makes victory not only possible, but certain." So trust that God wants the best for you and me. He, in His infinite power, is able to save anyone who comes to Him. And there is no other in whom we can safely trust. Now, there is so much more to say, but I hope it's clear to you that the lament of a Christian is so much more than an expression of sorrow or a venting off of your emotions to God. It's a prayer of faith in His promises. It's a longing for Him to ease our pain, not only because He cares, but because He holds the power to do so. When we lament as David or as Moses did, we are enabled to turn towards God when our sorrows tempt us to run from Him. Now, it actually wasn't too long ago that I prayed a prayer of lament. Do we have any shift workers in the house? Raise your hand so I don't feel so alone. Well, so you know what it feels like to do a run of night shifts. And recently I finished a run and I was just so tired. I was looking forward to getting back into the rhythm of sleeping at the right time. And for some reason, I just couldn't sleep. I developed some pain in my shoulder and then my neck started to flare up. And recent times, it's my fault. I've become somewhat of a suburban farmer or a COVID gardener. And I think I was a little bit too enthusiastic trying to get the weeds out. But I've managed to damage the bursa in my left shoulder, and that bursa is like a fluid-filled sac that separates your joints, and with overwork, it unfortunately like becomes inflamed. And I was tossing and turning, I couldn't get to sleep, and I felt like I had no right to complain to God about such a small problem. But then it got to a point where it really, really hurt, And as I said, my neck started to play up. It was just one thing after another. And unfortunately, I was born with a congenital defect in my spine. So my C3 and C4 didn't separate as it should have. So it's called a fusion of your bones. So at times I do suffer from pain, but this was pain like I'd never experienced before. And so I cried. I cried to God and I said, "Lord, You are the great physician, please. Help me, ease me from the pain. I just want to sleep." And if I'm being completely honest, I still had pain. It was still uncomfortable, but it was bearable to the point that I was able to fall asleep. God, in His mercy and His love, heard my prayer that night. And what's interesting is I slept in the next day, which is very unusual for me. So I was very grateful. And I woke up that morning with a reminder that God truly cared for me, no matter how small my problems were. He wanted to know about them and He wanted to help. Isn't it strange, as Christians, we so readily forget that God cares, and we forget that He never promised life would be easy. In the scriptures, God makes it very clear that in this world we will have troubles, we will have afflictions. And though He may not necessarily take the pain and suffering we experience away from us for whatever reason He feels is necessary, He does promise to help us carry those burdens and help us sustain us through them. He promises you and I that we have no need to fear because He is with us. And in times of pain, do not let the enemy fool you into thinking that God has abandoned you. He's right there with you. As we near the end of today's message, I just want to share one last story with you. I find that I learn more through stories. I don't know about you, but this one is particularly inspiring. It's a story of Harold Wilkie, an American minister born with no arms. Although disabled, he was an abled man. You can see in the picture there him signing some papers with his foot. It's incredible. But when preaching to his congregation one day, he tells of a time that he struggled to put a shirt over his head. As he writhed around on the ground in his room, unable to get it on, in desperation, he begins to cry out for help. He could hear his mum and her friend in another room, and he thought, well, if I can hear them, they can surely hear me. And he was perplexed as to why she would ignore his cry for help. Through his sobs, through his tears, he hears his mum's friend ask her, aren't you going to help that poor boy? And as he looks through the door of his room just to see her reaction and what she's going to say, he's surprised to see tears threatening to fall from her eyes. He sees her arms held tightly by her side, and she utters four words that he'll never forget for the rest of his life. I am helping him. In messages to young people, Sister White again encourages us that to every sincere prayer, an answer will come. It may not come just as you desire or at the time you look for it, but it will come in a way and at a time that will best meet your need. The prayers you offer in loneliness, in weariness, and in trial, God answers, not always according to your expectations, but always for your good. Friends and family, until Jesus returns, the world will be marked by tears. And in the midst of our pain and in the midst of our suffering, together let us cry. Let us lament. Let us pray through our pain, remembering that the God we serve is faithful and true. I think Darren jinxed me because I got through this morning's sermon without crying until the very end, and then here I am again. But I just want to encourage you that whatever may afflict you, though you cry, hope in the promise that He is working all things together for our good and for His glory. Amen.